Where are you, dads? Everybody stand up. Y'all pop on up there. Yeah, good to see us. Give them a big old huge hand. Yeah. Good men, everyone. Oh, no, no. Stay up. Come on. Stay up. Let the applause be sustained. All right? Yeah, we want you to experience the joy and the adulation. Right. That's right. After all, one of men's five basic needs is admiration. Did you know that? We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So anyway, yeah, thanks, guys. Happy Father's Day to all of you. This is a good day. Thanks for so many of you for being out. Another great summer crowd, and as well as in the first service. We had a blast then, and it's not too bad when guys take over, right? It was not so bad. So some of you guys, you might could have done a little better by being up here with us. So I'm looking at some of y'all who choose not to sing and to going fishing with us, so we're going to remember who you are. We'll get you up here at some point. You know, one of the things we love to do every day, every year on this day, is to honor our Fathers of the Year. And today, this year, we have two of those that we are honoring. And both of them are very special men, individuals who epitomize the picture of what good fatherhood is, consistency, and all that good stuff. And the first we honored in the first service today, our first gentleman. Wow, and they even have the body of Adonis. That's pretty cool. I like that. I didn't even know that was coming up there. That's good. So the first one was a guy who has been with us for a very long time. He is a father to so many, not only his own family. Does he do an incredible job there. He also is a wonderful father, you might say, to so many of our children, as he keeps watch over them on Sundays and does so much. He also is, in many ways, a father to the entire, every year, the entire Burlington Indians/Royals baseball team. As he's one of their sponsors, one of the guys who adopts them and helps them. And many of y'all know him. He kind of floats between both services, Mr. Bill Higgins. So Bill's a great guy, and I don't think he's in here this service, but anyway, yeah, I think he's back over with the children. The second father we want to honor this year is a guy who's been with us for a very long time. I love him to death. He's one of my absolute, really good friends, and you know, he's consistent, he's cool, he's all those things. He's one of the best friends anybody could have. But more than that, he's an incredibly model father. He's an incredible model father, husband. His family deeply adores him. Sometimes they make me want to puke because they adore him so much. And but he's a wonderful friend. He too, like Bill, is one of our elders. And does so much. He's one of our small group leaders, along with his wife Emily. So, Mr. Daryl Bozovich, you, sir, are our Father of the Year. I hear you, baby. I hear you. Yeah, both his daughters, Maggie and Anna, we honored them a couple weeks ago. They're both graduating. One from college. One from high school. You like this man? I am a dog. Actually, I had nothing to do with it. I was gone when they voted on it, so I would have made sure. No, I'm just playing. You know I love you. You're the best, man. You're the best. Yeah, Daryl's the best, no doubt. So if you don't know this guy, you need to get to know him, he and Emily and all them. Girls, y'all stand up. May his harem stand up. Daryl's harem. There they are right there. Anna just graduated from Gardner-Webb. Maggie from Eastern, and his wife just kissed him. That's... They still got it going on too. I want y'all to know that they're matter of fact, they should be teaching this message we're going to be doing today. But anyway, we love you guys. Congratulations, Daryl. Congratulations also to Bill Higgins. Well, you know, we're in the midst of this series where Todd and I are taking some questions, and both of us will be back up here next week. But, you know, we're dealing with some issues that are based on some of the questions that you have. And so this week, after talking about last week, what does the Bible say about maximizing your finances? And before that, talking about things like, you know, why did God choose the Jews as his chosen people? Does God still harden people's hearts and that kind of thing? We kind of come to this week. You knew somebody had to ask the question, right? That had to do with this whole idea about love, sex, and relationships. And so I'm going to give you the question that came up, first of all, and then we're going to talk around it. We're going to talk about it, And we're going to be very honest. And look, one of the things, and you know what? What it was great today to see so many of you today who might have only been here for a few times, and or maybe you're here for your first time today, and I'm thinking, wow, how do I explain to them that what we're talking about today is kind of an unusual occasion? Well, other than say, what we're talking about today is kind of an unusual occasion, but we do believe in integrity, that if the Bible speaks about it, then we must speak about it. Anything in the Bible, we have to talk about it, no matter how uncomfortable, no matter how, the topic might be, right? We got to talk about it. And so we're going to do that today. And as we go into this, I'm just going to ask you to pray with me that God will give us wisdom, He'll give us guidance to know how to talk about these things and to move forward. So God, thanks for the chance to talk about issues that are important to you. God, these issues are paramount to the issue of what it's like to be in a family, to be in a relationship that honors you. So God, open our hearts, open our minds, open our understanding today. God, thanks for the way that we want to learn. And God, I pray if there's anything that I say today that's not in from you, that's not in concert with what you have to say, God, that you'll strike it from our memories. I pray that in advance. But God, give us all open hearts and all open minds as we look at this subject today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, it is Father's Day, so I want to share with you, many people, you know Todd Felkel, our pastor of Connect and Grow, and I wanted to just simply give you a feel of Todd and what Todd is through the eyes of his daughter. So on the screen, we've got the entry that wound up in the Times News, I believe it was, drawn by his daughter, Jessica. So this is Todd. Notice the perfect circularity of the head, which resembles the actual shape of Todd's head. Notice, too, for those of you who have been counseled by Todd and who you will go to Todd for counseling, that he has no ears. So he doesn't listen to you, all right? There's no way he can listen. So if you've been counseled by Todd and he said something to you that you think is out of what you have said to him, just know that it was, he just like, just blind luck. He happened to catch on and do it. So anyway, Todd, we wanted to show that for you today, buddy. You're the man. And Todd is an incredible father, father of three girls, along with his wife. And that so much estrogen going on in that house. He does have a couple of dogs, though, that are the male persuasion, right? Bingo is his name-o. Yeah, that's a really good way to figure that name out. But anyway, relate to him, because in our household, you know, my oldest is my son, and he's old enough to be gone and doing his stuff all the time, and I'm left with a house of estrogen as well. But my problem is I don't have any dogs to help me combat that. All three of our dogs are females, so it's everywhere around our house. So Todd, you're the man. Well, hey, what is the question that came up when we're talking about love, sex, and relationships? What is the specific question that we heard from you when we threw this out? Well, I've been really trying, baby. Ron, that's trying to hold back the feelings, but so okay. All right, Ron. Okay, Ron. All right, Ron, we get it. Okay. Whenever you got Ron Carter running your media, all right. I know, Ron, it was probably a hard decision for you today. You had to choose between Marvin Gaye and Barry White, right? And you chose Marvin instead of Barry today. So, oh, man, what a guy. But anyway, what is the question that came up? The question really related to how does integrity look at relationships that where couples are living together and are not married, in a romantic relationship. And then the other thing is, how do we look at the issue of homosexuality? So we're going to talk about those things, but rather than deal with both of those issues specifically today, we felt that it would be much better for us to talk about what Scripture says in general about the topic. Because so often what we do, we want to go right for the things that are right there in front of us without unpacking and learning how to think critically about what the Bible says about certain things. So let's go there today, and let's take a look at what Scripture says. I'm going to start off today by saying that I really have come to find out that after about 15, 16 years of vocational ministry, in student ministry, youth ministry, and then as the lead pastor here, I really believe that there are many, many people who have no clue with regard to what the Bible says about these subjects. I really believe that. Now, I grew up in kind of a sheltered home, lifestyle, etc. Okay, for those of you who don't know that, I was. I'm very naive at times. There are things that I've said from the platform that I had no idea had double entendres, and you come up to me, John Garner, right, and have explained to me, bud, you can't say that anymore, right? John's my watchdog. He's my cultural watchdog, you know. I'm naive. I really am. And, you know, I grew up in a home that was pretty healthy, you know. Everything was cool, you know, there. You know, I married into a family where things were healthy. Things were pretty cool. I went to a high school that was a Christian high school, right? I was very sheltered. You know, I went to college, and, you know, my eyes began to get opened up when my very first roommate in college, my first year, happened to be... Yeah, you were in the first service. You were, yeah. Happened to be a Vietnam vet going back to school later in life who slept nude on top of his sleeping bag on top of the bed. Now, my eyes really did get... I didn't mean that. No, I shouldn't have didn't mean that. No, I did not literally. But I really began to see, oh my gosh, this world is different from what I have kind of been led to believe. This is kind of scary. And so ever since then, though, I've come to realize more that people generally just don't know what Scripture says. We kind of get locked into the way the society thinks about love, sex, and relationships, and it kind of gets easy to buy into that sometimes, doesn't it? Because when we don't know what Scripture does say, we don't really have a whole lot of guidance other than what we might hear from others. So dads, being that it's Father's Day, hopefully what we're going to do today partially is to arm us with some ammunition as we talk to our children, as we talk to others that we might come in contact with, others in the family, etc., so that we can be better prepared to address some of the issues that they are inevitably going to come across, because they will come across these issues. And if we don't have answers for them, if we don't have what Scripture says ready to share with them, then you know what? There's a good chance that they're going to take routes that are not very productive. They're not very good. So guys, I want us to listen today. And I want us to really unpack this together. Let me say, too, that before I go into any of this, I don't have anybody in mind. Inevitably, when I teach a message like this, somebody's going to come and say, well, did you had such and such in mind? Did you have somebody? No, I don't. You guys asked a question. You know, I'm just responding, right? But we're responding to what Scripture says. So I want you to know, first of all, that no matter what your life situation is, where you are, what you're doing, whatever the case might be, that this is a fact that I know of, without a doubt. God loves you so much that there is nothing that you can do that is going to make Him love you any more than He already does. Does that make sense? All right? There is nothing that you can... you know, do that is going to make Him love you any more or less. Does that make sense? So no matter where you are, God loves you. That's the good news. No matter what you're doing, no matter what your lifestyle might be right now, no matter what you're going through, God loves you so much. He wants to see you come through it. He is not a condemning God. Now, He wants us to what? To live and to love each other into the kingdom. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So as we go into this, just understand that. All right. Here's the first thing I want us to mention today. The Bible talks a lot about purity. Purity. Jesus was pure. Jesus was sinless. Jesus led a life also that we are told is to be an example for all of us. But I want to share with you what I believe is the greatest threat to purity today. And that's the issue of sexual lust. I believe that sexual lust is the most significant deterrent or the significant threat to this whole idea of moral purity. Now, notice what I said about lust. I didn't say activity. Lust, guess what? Where does lust occur? Mind, heart, right? These two areas, right? Now, the point is this. Here's the point. Things don't have to be based on activity for purity to be compromised. Because the Bible says so often that things start here and here, and they lead to activity. So let's be careful to understand that. Jesus led Paul to say this. Now, Paul came along and when Jesus was doing his thing, Paul was a Pharisee and he was kind of looking at Jesus from the outside, kind of being critical and all that stuff. But Paul had a radical, his name was Saul then, Saul had a radical conversion to Christ, right? And so then he took a different tack on what Jesus was saying. And so he wrote about some of this, and he hits this issue around lust in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Follow anything that makes you want to do right. Pursue faith and love and peace, and enjoy the companionship of those who call upon the Lord with pure hearts." God's goal for you and me is purity. Lives that are pure. Lives that are pure in every aspect. Everything that we do, everything that we are, God wants us to live in purity. So the greatest threat to purity is sexual lust. Now, Paul goes on to write to the church at Corinth in Corinthians. Now, the church at Corinth was located in a town called Corinth in a country known as Greece. Now, the Greek culture, which was known as the Hellenistic culture, was one that was perhaps one of the most permissive societies in all of human history. Anything goes in the Hellenistic culture for the most part. In the interest of free thinking, art, there was a high level of emphasis on artistic type endeavors and that kind of thing. And so morality kind of took a back seat to all of that. So what happened was Paul began to write to them specifically about this issue of love, sex, and marriage. So what did he say? Well, one of the most clarifying passages we find on this subject is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now there, Paul gets into this issue of marriage, and he gets into this issue of the S word as well. And he gets kind of specific about it. Paul was a guy who didn't pull any punches. He kind of like, if it needed to be said, he said it. And so he does in this passage. So let's talk about the truth about sex. Paul really, he intros this by saying this. Now, in verse 1, getting down to the questions you asked in your letter to me, just like we're doing today. Somebody asked the question. Let's talk about it. First, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? That's Paul setting the table, right? By now, guess what? He's got their attention. They're reading this. Oh, yeah. Let's read on further here. Let's listen to this. And so he then goes on and gives us some major points about what this is all about and how God sees things in terms of the biblical marital relationship. So he tells us in the first thing that sex is designed for biblical marriage only. Did you get that? Sex is designed for biblical marriage only. Now, can I say that a lot of what I'm going to say today, you're going to think, oh, that's just Bud's opinion. If I think it's my opinion, I'll tell you. But basically, we're going to stick with what Scripture says, because the Scripture gives us enough on this to make it very clear. He says in verse 2, certainly is what? It is the answer to the question posed in verse 1, which was what? No, sex is a good thing, basically. Certainly it is. It's a really cool thing, he says. But, you know, he gives us a big old but, right? He gives us a big old but here. What? What? Big old, you were in the first service today, right? Here's the but. Certainly, but only within a certain context, he says. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and to provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. Wow, Paul says all those years ago that he lived in a world of sexual disorder too? Does that mean that we haven't really come that far in 2,000 years? Probably not. Paul lived in a world that had a warped view of sex, as well as the fact that some could say that we live in a world that has a very warped view of sex as well. And so he says, look, he says, you need to understand what it takes to have a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. Here's the second thing that he wants us to really understand, is that sex is essential for a healthy marriage. Not only is sex designed to be employed, you might say, exclusively within the biblical marriage, but it is also essential for a healthy marriage. It's not something that is optional. It's not the most important thing in a marriage, but you know what? It is an important thing. But, you know, keep in mind, Bud, you've put that little sex thing in just a really little box here. Just a marriage. Yeah, well, I didn't do it. God did. That's a God thing. That's not what Bud says. Now, that is not my opinion. That is what Scripture says. So that is authoritative. And it says that sex is essential for a healthy marriage. In verse 3, Paul says, the marriage bed must be a place of mutuality, with the husband seeking to satisfy his wife and the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. You got that? Now, that's very important. Here's some things that we need to understand. There are so many things that go into a healthy marriage. But yet, before we get married, sex just tends to be one of the things that we think about the most. Right? And because of that, decisions are made about marriages that are unhealthy. More on that in a few minutes. Here's the point about sex. It doesn't make a marriage, but it doesn't make a healthy marriage, but it contributes to it. And so therefore couples have to actually discuss it regularly. You mean we gotta talk about it stuff? Yuck. I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's just, you know, it's that's something to talk about. But it's something you do, right? So why can you not talk about it? In the context of the marital relationship. Well, let me talk a little bit about what happens when sexual activity occurs outside the marriage. It often leads to decisions that have been impaired. In other words, it leads so often to decisions where we don't have the best information. Let me give you an example. We guys do not do a real good job of understanding the basic differences between us as guys and them as gals. Okay? Have you ever had a problem with that? Guys? No? No? Most of the marital counseling that I do, is centered around the fact that guys don't understand girls. Girls don't understand guys much better either. Okay? So gals, don't think like you're getting off the hook here. Okay? We have a tendency in human nature to do this. We do something we call projection. Projection simply means this. Projection simply means that I'm assuming that whatever I like, what is important to me, what is good to me, you know what? That is what is important to others as well. And we typically do that in a marital relationship, don't we? We do that in a marital relationship. We tend to think that what is important to me is important to the other spouse. Well, let me just kind of give you an idea about this. Many of you have been to one of our five love languages marriage retreats, and we talk about an idea we call His Needs, Her Needs. It's based on a book by a marriage counselor, and we really think it's really good stuff. And in that, based on research, he gives us the five basic needs of each of males and females, each gender, right? And so let me kind of give you an idea of what those are. Many of you have heard this before. It's reviewed to you. But if you're like me, you need to continually hear it all the time. You need to continue to hear it because it's good information. First I'll start with him. What is it that he wants? What's at the top of his list? Sexual fulfillment, right? So that's it. That's top of the list. You know what else is on his list? The typical male. This is maybe not all of y'all, okay? Or us. I guess I'm one of you too. Right? No, I know I'm one of you too. I know I am. No doubt about that. Honey, you can vouch for me. But anyway, that's it. What else is on the list? Our list, guys. Here we go. Not food. Well, directly. Not directly, but indirectly, okay? One of the second things is recreational companionship. I want her to go and drive the golf cart for me while I'm playing, right? I want her to watch me. You know, I'm going to go play ball at the gym. I want her to go with me, right? I want her to be there as I recreate. And I want her to, you know, I want her to have a part with me, right? What's another thing? Here's another one, right? Recreational companionship. Guess what else? An attractive spouse. We want an attractive spouse. Here's another one. You're going to like this one, guys. admiration. We want to be admired. That's one of the... No, ladies, I had to call the ladies down in the first service. I have to call you down now. There were too many amens and such in the first service. You know what the Bible says? Women should keep quiet in church. You know? So. No, I didn't. I'm just joking. We're not one of those churches. I'm just playing with you. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. What's another one? What's another one? What's another one? Here's another one. You know, guys, we want to be admired. We want the attractive spouse. We want the recreational companionship. Sexual fulfillment. Yeah, and actually food is the next one because it has to do with domestic support. We want the wife to kind of take care of the household stuff, right? Now, let's look at her list. You ready for this? Guys, you're not ready for it, but you need to listen to it anyway. At the top of her list is affection. Affection, in her mind, it's non-sexual affection. Guys, affection to you, I know what you're thinking. She ain't thinking that. At all. This is the holding hands, putting the arm around, that kind of thing. Opening the door, right? You know, pulling the ladder out so you can help her get into the four-wheel drive cab that's up here, right? All that kind of stuff, right? There's openness and honesty. You ever thought that it was a worthless question for her to ask you, what'd you have for lunch today? What's that got to do with anything? She genuinely wants to know. She wants openness and honesty. She wants to know it all. All. She's not just being a busybody. Well, she might be. But, you know, generally speaking, there is a point at which that's who she is. That's what she wants to know. She wants financial security. She wants domestic support. She wants to know that you're being the father that you need to be. So what did you notice about... Oh, she wants conversation. That's the other one. What did you notice about her list and our list, guys? There ain't nothing that's common on them. There is nothing that's common on them. And so here's what happens. Folks go into marriages not even realizing stuff like this. And they have no clue how different they are. And we assume that what makes me happy is going to make you happy. And, you know, she assumes what's going to make her happy is going to make me happy, da-da-da. And we get into what can be a big mess. So let me just kind of go back to this real quickly. Because marriages that are based on faulty information and bad information are usually going to turn out negatively. You know, I'm pretty selective on the marriages that I perform now. You know why? Because I got sick and tired in my earlier ministerial career of marrying folks and turning around and seeing 6 months, a year, 2 years later, divorce occur. You know, it just ain't worth it. Because, you know, I feel like I'm going to be called to account one day for those marriages that I endorse by performing the ceremony. And that is a huge deal. Therefore, I farm out counseling to people who are real counselors. Tim Rambo in our congregation is one. Another wonderful friend, Marilyn Harding, is another. That we send Bob Feltz, a pastor friend of mine, incredible. I'm not that good at that, so I give it to people who are good at it. Why? Because this stuff is so critically important. Here's why. Because bad marriages affect everybody. You know, if you marry the wrong person, you know what? Your life ain't the only one that's going to get messed up. Everybody around you, your moms, your dads, your brothers, your sisters, your children, if it's a Brady Bunch kind of thing, right? Absolutely. They're going to be messed up because bad marriages affect everybody. Because I've seen them split entire families up. And to drive nails and to drive chasms where there shouldn't be. Do not make the wrong decision. On the other hand, good marriages will bless everybody. That's the good news. Good marriages will bless everybody associated with you, associated with both families. So anyway, that's important. Sex is designed for biblical marriage only, and sex is essential for a healthy marriage. Third thing is that sex is designed as an unselfish act of mutuality. What does mutuality mean? Well, it means that we're in this not for the benefit of ourselves, but for the benefit of the other. Now, it's very easy for a couple who is looking at marriage to assume that that's actually the way that we want to be. But when we get into it, guess what we discover? It takes work. It's not all sunshine and roses. Love means work. That's a major component of what love really is. In any relationship, it doesn't matter. Love implies what? That I am going to serve you. And service is work. If you're not looking at a marital relationship as one in which you can serve others, you've got or serve the other party, you've got things wrong. Because Paul says in verse 4, marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Here's the point. Serving and selfishness cannot coexist. They cannot coexist. They will not coexist. If you're in it for you primarily, you know what? You're going to make somebody else miserable, and you're going to be miserable yourself. Even if you think you're getting your selfish desires satisfied. Kind of with me on that? Like I told the first service, it's okay if you're going to sit there like bumps on a log today. You don't want to make any expression. You don't want to say anything. You don't want to smile. You don't want to frown. You don't want to do anything that's going to make it look like he's talking about me or that applies to me. I totally understand. If I were in your place listening to somebody talk about this stuff, I would do the same thing. But are you with me? Okay, that's okay. Yeah, that's good. All right. All right, so I want to kind of shift gears a little bit, and I want us to talk about some things that are out of bounds, okay? What are some things that are out of bounds with regard to this love, marriage, sex thing? Well, there are two major categories of sexual sin that the Bible talks about, okay? And again, can I reiterate midway through this message that God loves you no matter what's going on in your life? He wants you to do the right thing. And as I said at the beginning, I think there are just so many people today, even in the church, that don't know what Scripture says. But I think that, you know what? Here's the thing I want you to understand before we go any further. That if you've messed up in any of these areas, God's grace is totally sufficient to cover that for you. Can I say this also? I know so many parents who say, you know what? I messed up when I was young. Or I messed up in something outside the relationship. You know what? I just don't feel like I have the moral authority to teach my kids because of what I did. Please understand something. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Satan manufactured, Satan induced. Because you know what? God's grace covers that as well. Fathers, here's what I want to challenge you to be. I want to challenge you, and not only fathers, but guys who are not yet fathers. Maybe not yet married, whatever the case might be. Let me challenge you, even if you've messed up somewhere in life, okay? Let me challenge you to say, you know what, I'm going to be the anchor man in my family, in my family line. I might have messed up or there might be a history of this mess or whatever the case might be, but you know what, it's going to stop right here. I'm going to do things the right way. You know, I'm going to make sure that I teach my kids to do the right way, the things the right way. You know, I'm going to teach my grandkids to do the right thing. You know what? Anchor men are those whose legacy lives on long after they die. Anchor men are men of integrity. They are men of compassion. They are men of love. They're legendary in their family. Guys, wouldn't you like to be legendary in your family? There you go. Sounds good to me too. Not because of any prideful type reason, but you know what? When you're that person, the generations that follow you are going to be much better off. Well, let me just go over a couple of things here real quickly. Sexual sin falls into two categories. Here's the first one. And I got my shoe untied, so let me go down here while I'm talking about it. Here's the first one. It's called adultery. What is adultery? It's on your outline there. Adultery is any extramarital sexual activity in which at least one of the participants is married. You got that? It is any extramarital sexual activity in which at least one of the participants is married. Okay? Now, two key phrases there. Extramarital, which means that it's what? Outside the realm of a biblical marriage. Now, somebody asked me last week, you know, what do you think about marriage that's, that where two people come together and they think in a biblical sense, but, you know, they haven't done the legal thing? You know, aren't they really married? And I said, no. I said, because if you look at the totality of Scripture, whether you think you're doing it biblically or not, the Bible also says what? Submit to the laws of the land. So you can't just pick and choose biblical principles, right, at your convenience. So therefore, you are not married in a biblical sense if you haven't done the legal thing. Now, to Jesus, was he so specific that he said, go to the pastor or go to the JP to get it done? No. But the principle is, we as Christ followers must obey the law of the land, right? So therefore, no, you're not married if you haven't done it legally. And I, you know, that's why I have a problem with this common law stuff, because it just doesn't seem to me to make biblical sense. So, adultery is any extramarital sexual activity in which at least one of the participants is married. Fornication, on the other hand, is any sexual activity in which neither of the participants is married. Those two things kind of cover about the gamut, if you can remember those. All right? If you can kind of stay out of those things in your relationships and have a healthy marriage, you're going to be, you know, that's good. So, adultery and fornication occur in numerous ways. First of all, with physical nature. Many of us think of affairs, we think of fornication, as only being physical. We only cross the line when, what? Things get physical, right? That is the point. That's really not what Scripture says. In that passage in 1 Corinthians 6, right before this chapter that he writes on marriage and sex, Paul writes, run away from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. So when you do this, you sin against your own body. Well, it's my body, I can do with it what I want. No, read on a little further, cowboy. He goes on to say, or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by who? By God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. And what was that price? His life. It was his death upon a cross. It was the resurrection. That was a high price to give his life. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Here's the second thing. Adultery and fornication can also be of a cognitive nature. Now, what does cognitive mean? What's the word mean? In the mind. Okay, in the mind. So, fornication and adultery can occur within the mind. Mark 7:21. For from within, Jesus said, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, etc., etc., etc. If you read the next verse, you'll see more things. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. So many people in our country today are just encapsulated in the grip of pornography. I want to give you some statistics. According to a USA Today survey, the percentage of the following groups who use pornography is as follows. Women who have never been married, 22%. Previously married women, 17%. Married women, 11%. Men who have never been married, 57%. Previously married men, 54%. Married men, currently married men, 44%. Now, can I be brutally honest with you about something here? The use of pornography in a marital relationship is clear adultery. You are cheating on your spouse if you resort to something like that of a cognitive nature. That is clear adultery. It's also fornication because it's a sexual sin in which, you know, well, it's adultery. It's simply adultery if you're married. If you're not, it's fornication. But can I tell you that God's grace is sufficient to deliver you from that garbage? You know, I can introduce to you to so many people in our church who have fought that battle and who God has given the victory. I can introduce you to a Celebrate Recovery ministry that would love to help you deal with these issues. But you know what? Here's the point. Pornography is one of those things that nobody ever talks about. So one of the most difficult things anybody has to do is to admit, I've got a problem. Until you go there and admit it, you're never going to be free from it. You've got to have help. This is not something you can do on your own. It's a God thing. So, adultery and fornication can be of a physical nature, can be of a cognitive nature, can be of an emotional nature. Now, this is where we kind of get, like, really weird here. Because so much of the counseling that we might do and so many of the marital problems we might hear of today, we hear of just as many issues, it seems like, that arise out of emotional affairs as we hear of arising out of physical affairs. Look at what Scripture says. Notice that in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon that Jesus ever taught, we think, based on what we can see in the Gospels. Very early on in the discourse, Jesus says this, I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust in his eye has already committed adultery in his heart with her. Whoa. You heard that one before? Look at a woman or ladies with a man with lust in your eyes, you've already committed adultery. So, what does that tell me? That tells me that there is an emotional issue here. There is such thing as an emotional affair that can do just as much damage as a physical affair. It really can. What does an emotional affair look like? It happens when the person, it usually happens when one of the persons in the relationship is not getting their emotional needs met in the relationship. And so they go outside to find someone else of the opposite gender to rely on, to depend on. How many times have I heard guys tell me, you know what? This lady at work, she just understands my problems in my marriage. You know what my word is to them? Run away as quick and as far as you can. Let me give you a rule of thumb to keep you from emotional affairs. The moment that you begin to depending on anyone else of the opposite gender other than your spouse for anything emotional, you got a problem and you're in a danger zone. So do not discuss anything about your marriage, about your dating relationship with anyone of the opposite gender. You got that? You got that? Now, if you want to go into a professional counseling relationship or something, that's great, okay? Yeah, you can do that, no problem. It's better even then to choose gender-specific counseling opportunities as well. That's why we use both Tim Rambo, that's why we use a lady named Marilyn Harding, okay, to give options. So, emotional affairs can be really problematic. So what's the solution? The solution is basically to respect God's plan for marriage. Look at what Hebrews 13 says. It says this, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. So how do we bring this home and really kind of wrap it up? There is so much that we could talk about on this. You know, what we did today was give you a whole message series in one message. I hope you realize that. There is so much that Scripture has to say about this. But can I tell you this again, and I want to continue to reiterate this, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you've done, God can make this right in your life. He can make this right. Purity is so incredibly important to Him. And you know what, can I tell you? That your purity is going to be so important in the marital relationship that you're in right now or the one that you are going to be in the future. Maybe you're like Paul, though, and in another part of that passage, Paul said this. He said in the rest of that passage in 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, verse 5 through 7, he says, abstaining from sex is permissible. No, let me just move on down real quickly. He said, sometimes in verse 7, sometimes I wish everyone were single like me, a simpler life in many ways, but celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is. God gives the gift of the single life to some and the gift of the married life to others. So God gifts some to be single, some to be married. That's great. But here's my point. Your purity now, if you're not yet married, is so critical to what that marriage is going to look like in the future. Let me give you an example. If you engage in sexual activity now, prior to the marriage, let me ask you, and I say this because I've seen it happen enough to where I know that it does happen. Are you going to have fears that, wow, because we did that, or because he did that, or she did, are you going to have fears? Are you going to have issues? Could they do it again? Here's my point. God can cover over that. He can heal that. And I know in many of your lives he has. And that's a beautiful picture of how he's healed that. But you know what? You run the risk. You run the risk of emotional baggage. You run the risk of divorce, right? Which brings, really, for many people, they will tell you, not only emotional ruin, financial ruin as well. It can save you so much trouble if we just use God's plan, God's perspective, God's guidelines in figuring out what this means for our lives. Ladies, those of you who are single, can I encourage you to do something? Don't settle. Don't settle for anyone who is not the man that we described today. Don't settle. You don't need to be married to someone who is not going to go about it in a godly and biblical fashion. Trust me, I'm not a lady, but I know that. Dads, teach that to your little girls. Dads, teach your guys, your boys, how to be biblical, role model, anchor men kind of guys. Guys, don't settle either. You're not married. Don't settle. Don't settle for anything less than the best that God has for you. I really believe that God wants His children to have the best. And I believe that what we've talked about today and looking at what God's Word says about these issues, these describe the principles, the beliefs that you need to be looking for in others. If you've got a marriage right now that's been hindered, that's been damaged by whatever sin might be there, God wants to repair that for you as well. He allows us the privilege of going to Him and dealing with the relationship. If you want to talk to any of us, we can certainly get you help. We can pray for you. We can get you practical help from those who live this out, who study it, who are trained, and who make their livings working with people to make these things work out. So our prayer for you today is for healthy marriages, healthy relationships, healthy views and perspectives on the issue of sex. Again, thanks for being patient as we've talked about something that's difficult today. Let me reiterate that if God's Word talks about it, we talk about it. Because if we don't, we're going to be remiss. And if we miss anything that God's Word talks about, we're not going to be able to live a life that's holistic. So let's pray. Father, thanks, God, for your hand in all of this today. God, you're good, you're great, you're mighty. You have created these relationships for us, for our pleasure, for the benefit. God, I know that some of the things I've said today probably makes it sound like it's a bad thing. It's certainly not. It's a beautiful thing to have love. It's a beautiful thing when that love is embodied in a marital relationship. God, I pray that you'll give us guidance, you'll give us clarity
on all the things that we need to know and understand. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You know, I realize one of the things I didn't answer around the questions, I didn't talk about it in this message, is the issue of that whole thing about homosexuality. And you know what? I really believe that those two definitions of adultery and fornication are so complete that anything that falls outside those describes any type of sexual sin. So is that something that God you know, says is not good? Yeah, that is. One of the passages that I encourage folks in the first service to read is Romans chapter 1. If you want to get a clear picture of what God's Word says about it. I don't understand all the stuff about what's inborn, what's by choice, etc. At the same token, I know that I have an inborn, inherent need to want to eat more than I should. But just because I have that inherent, inborn nature doesn't mean I have to gratify it. As a matter of fact, when I do choose to gratify it, guess what? I hurt myself, and it becomes wrong, right? So to me, that argument's moot. You know what I mean? It's according to what God's Word says about the issue. So I'm sorry I didn't bring that up earlier before we closed, but I wanted to make sure that you didn't leave today without hearing what we had to say about that. I hope that you will fill out your connection card that's in front of you. Some people wave them. We have a lot of newer folks that way. Everybody fill that out. Everybody fill that out before you go. Just take a couple minutes, and I appreciate that. Guys, happy Father's Day, dads. It's been a fun day so far for me. I've had a great day. And, you know, I know that my family's going to make it an even better day the rest of the day, right, family? And I know yours will too. And so just have a great day and a great week. Don't forget to drop your connection cards along with the boxes, or along with your offerings and the tithes and the boxes in the back. Have a wonderful week. Look, if there's anything we can help you with, please let us know. We would love to help you with anything that we talked about today or anything else. God bless. Have a great day and a great week. Bye-bye.